Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the cat catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. You probably have seen one of her many viral cats TikToks, since nearly everyone she posts does extremely well. I cannot wait to talk to her because she has one of my favorite ones I've ever seen. So welcome, Nina Strafacci, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I am really excited because I want to talk about the very first TikTok that you made that I saw, at least.
Okay.
And I'm not on TikTok that much. I kind of barely use it, just mostly for the podcast. And I remember at the Met Gala, somebody dressed up in a full cat suit. And I had the same reaction that you had of a, wow, this is cats. Like, well, this is cats at the Met Gala. And you posted this really funny, this is the welcome to the Jellicle ball. And it went super viral. And so I want to know, like, I want to start there because you're obviously a cats fan. How did you decide, hey, it's time, I got to post this? Like, was there a lot of thought that goes into it? Or was it just this is funny, I'm going to post it?
So when it comes to TikToks, I realized that I am more strategic than I might come off. So it's the Met Gala. We're looking at the celebrities arriving. I know the theme is Karl Lagerfeld, and I think I saw Doja Cat arrive first, and everyone was talking about how Karl Lagerfeld had this cat. I'm so sorry, I forget her name, so I don't want to mispronounce it. The first Doja Cat comes up, I'm like, that's so typical, that's typical Doja Cat. And Jared Leto showed up in the full cat suit. I knew that, I was like, I have to make something, because I have an account that is mostly dedicated to theater. And I know that when it comes to what gets popular on TikTok, so the Met Gala, that is something that videos about the Met Gala, they're going to do well. And cats, although it is musical theater, which is typically regarded as like not that popular, cats on TikTok, it is a popular topic. And so I was like, I have to make a cat's joke before anybody else does, because I can't look like I'm copying anybody. So I make it, and it ended up being, at the time, my most watched and my most liked video ever. And
wow.
The official Cats the Musical Instagram did reach out to me and ask me to repost it. And they said that they would give me credit. And that is how it happened. It was a mixture of like a spur of the moment idea, but also a slightly strategic idea to be like, well, this is a video that might do well because it is two topics that they are a little bit popular on social media. So I knew that this will get some traction, but I didn't know that it would get that much traction. So
yeah, so it's really interesting. Were you watching like the red carpet for the Met Gala, or is it just watching on social media as stuff is popping up?
Yeah, I think that's how I do it. I don't watch it live or anything. on social media, there's a couple accounts that I follow that will post updates of like, this person's here in this outfit and this person's here in this outfit. The one thing I do regret about that TikTok is Lil Nas X also did have a cat inspired look. And so I did not put him in the TikTok, but I mentioned him in the comment.
Okay. So, you could have had a couple more jellicles in that video.
Yeah. I do have some unfortunate news about that video. With the most recent deal with TikTok and UMG, so a bunch of music is getting stripped off of TikTok right now.
Yep.
And a lot of my videos, a lot of other creators' videos, they're getting muted because of whatever music was used on it. And the Cats one got muted, and so I had to replace the sound. And so now there's just a different song over it. And you can't hear my voice anymore, so I am a little sad that one of my best videos ever got kind of warped.
Yeah, I noticed that because I went this morning to see how many views it had.
Yep.
And I clicked on it just to watch it again. And I was like, it's silent, all because of the music. But that is, it's an own beast of a conversation, I'm sure, that's happening.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back to TikTok because you've had a couple other recently. But I want to talk first about your Cats fandom. So when was the first time you saw the show and how did you get into it?
Okay, I've been prepping for this because it's kind of a long road about how I got into it.
Okay.
So I have to, before I get to Cats the Musical, I have to talk to you about a book series called Warriors. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's okay.
I'm not familiar.
So it's a book series. It's called Warriors. Online now, if you look it up or try to watch any social media video about it, they'll call it Warrior Cats to make it simpler, disambiguous, whatever. So Warriors is a book series about feral cats that live in the woods, and they all live in different clans. There's four different clans in this book series about feral cats. And it's just kind of about the socio-political ongoings of these clans of cat. But the thing about them is they have their own unique naming system. Spirituality is a very big theme of the entire series. They talk to their ancestors. They get prophecies from their ancestors. They have leaders, and these leaders live multiple lives. It's canon that the leaders have several lives. And in this book series, every month, all of the cats gather under the full moon to talk about the ongoings in their clan. So I was a fan of this book series when I was a preteen. I've always loved cats as the animal. I've always been like a girl that loves cats. My cousin got me introduced to this book series. We read it as preteen. So there was a precursor to me getting into Cats the Musical, because they might as well be the same thing. The Venn diagram between the Warrior Cats fans and Cats the Musical fans is a circle. Like, yeah. I swear.
All right. So I'm looking this up because I'm not familiar as we're talking. And this book series started in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing on the Wikipedia page here is inspiration and origins. And nowhere in that entire paragraph does it say Cats the Musical, which should be inspiration because everything you just said is Cats the Musical.
Literally. It's actually insane that there are two entities out there about, you know, the ongoing, just like the lives of cats. That's mystical, slightly magical, super dramatic. But no, they're not related to each other at all.
And this is, origin is the UK.
Yes.
And there's nothing about T.S. Eliot.
Nope.
These people straight ripped cats and, you know, don't want to give credit. I bet they don't recognize that one of them went to see the show, probably on the West End or a tour. And then like a week later had this book idea and was like, here's my brand new thought, and did not piece that together. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 books here.
Oh, there's a lot of books now. So the way that they come out is they call them series. So in the beginning, there was like 6 books to a series, which would be like one story arc. And then the next 6 books would be a different story arc. And so the plot does progress. I stopped reading them a long time ago.
Okay.
they're still going because I looked it up the other day to prep for coming here and making sure I had all the right information about the series.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, they're still publishing books. It's been 20 years.
Warriors, but, A Starless Clan, 2024, mm-hmm. has yep. recently come out. Yeah, I'm fascinated by this because it's, to your point, it sounds identical. And that's, okay, so you read those.
Well,
and
I
then
read
did
those.
You see the show? Like, then you're like, wow, this is what I read growing up. I'm in.
Oh, no, I didn't make this connection until not that long ago, actually.
Wow, okay.
So my introduction to Cats the Musical, I knew it through cultural osmosis because by the time that I was conscious, it was a cultural phenomenon. I was born in 1999. So.
Okay.
I knew that there was a musical called Cats, and sometimes on TV they would mention it. And that's really it. But in the year 2011, I was at my grandpa's mountain cabin, and he had a bunch of VHS tapes, and one of those was Cats. And we put it on, and I remember the opening number, but not like, I didn't remember the music, but I remember like, okay, yeah, this is a musical. This is the opening number. But then the Cats, they just kept singing. I was like, wait, when are they going to start talking? Is it just a play? Like, why are they talking? So Cats introduced me to the concept of a sung through musical. And at that first viewing, I don't remember paying that much attention because I went, why aren't they talking? I remember McCavity was the bad guy. And I remember Mr. Mistopheles' number because I could not get that music out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I ever viewed it in 2011. And then a few years later, we're up at the cabin again. This time I'm more of a theater kid. I'm in high school. And I'm like, let's watch it again. Let me watch it all the way through. And that was it. That was the end of it. And I was absolutely obsessed with it.
That was your hook. So the first time it was a, what is this? But it's fun. And then the second time it's personality. It's part of your being.
It became part of my being. Yes. I started listening. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, have you seen it live is the question now.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. How many times? Three. Okay.
But I have only seen Andy Blankenbuehler's revival version.
Me too. Me too, live. So I'm in the same boat as I started. I didn't even know about the show. I'm in the same way as you. It's like, I knew about the show because it's referenced in TV shows and made poked fun at, and you know, everyone knows Memory. So I kind of have seen like the Friends episode where they make a Cats joke and stuff like that. But I'd never seen the show or even could have told you what it was about, and had not read the Warriors books. So I was less familiar. But then I got here to New York and it was revived. And that's how I was introduced to actually seeing it. I had not seen the 1998 movie, like the rest, because I'm not a theater kid. I grew up playing hockey, playing sports. And just that was not a VHS that made it into our rotation or into our household. So I hadn't seen that movie until right before I was going to actually tackle this podcast. And I said, it's time to watch it. And I was on a work trip and I was on a plane and I had it on an iPad. And I got the weirdest looks as I sat on a plane flying in business casual with watching Cats on my iPad with everyone else working. And I was like, no, this is research. This is work. But so you're in the same boat that you've only seen Andy's version live, but you've seen the 1998 movie probably a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's get into your like thoughts on the show. So I've obviously tackled this from a totally different angle as someone who wasn't a super fan, but came in being like, what am I watching? What just happened? And so I'm always interested of like, what parts of the show resonated with you most? Or like, did you immediately kind of take to in this kind of crazy chaos of a story that's not spoken, but loosely written for you?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that. Getting ready to come on here, because I was like, What do I even like about this other than Cats the Animal? Because I have always liked Cats the Animal. Other than my predisposition to stories about mystical cats.
Mm-hmm.
I called my best friend because my friends, when I was 18, got me tickets to see the revival for my birthday. And that was the first time I saw the show live.
Okay.
And my best friend did not like it, but I loved it. So I think one of the reasons that I enjoy it so much is, other than the dancing, because I do love dancing, like I just love musical theater, is because I really enjoy character-driven stories. It's something I've realized about myself, is I enjoy characters and I enjoy analyzing characters and I enjoy analyzing their relationships to one another more than, and especially in the story of Catholic, more than the actual story or the actual plot itself. So that's one reason I think that the show really resonates with me. And the other thing is, I'm a very music inclined person. So sometimes I have a hard time like remembering lyrics because I'm so focused on the music itself. And I think with Cat, it's just, it's music that I enjoy. It's pleasant to my ears. And so that paired with the fact that this story really does rely on the characters and how the characters are portrayed and the relationships in between them, I think that is part of the reason why I love it so much.
That's so interesting, because I'm like the exact opposite of you in both of those aspects. So it's not the, my love for Cats is very different. My love for Cats is the ability to analyze it in such a unique way, more so than probably the story. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up loving sitcoms and rom-coms and all these like very neat and tidy, predictable stories. You know that you're going to start with a, you know, an introduction. You're going to have your little conflict. You're going to have your resolution. Your storylines are going to close in a nice, happy way. And that's the opposite of character-driven Cats, where it's much more of a ambiguous family type of piece. And then I'm also the opposite in I can remember most lyrics, but some of the music, I'm like, I'm a little bit more on the lyric side than the music side. So funny to hear you say that, because we're like the exact opposite. But so when you watched the VHS and you were there, did you resonate with a certain character? Like, was there one Cat that you were like, especially the second time, or as you've watched it more, where you're like, all right, this is the storyline that I've, the character plot of that I've really loved or I've understood most?
I have to think, because I'm blocking this into rewatching in 2015, becoming obsessed, and then following the revival as the revival was getting put together, and then getting to see the show live a couple times. So my favorite number in the show and my favorite characters, or two of them, are Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. Mm-hmm. That's the number that I went back to so many times. That's the number when I'm watching the show. I'm like, okay, we're so close to Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. Everybody be quiet. They're about to come on the stage. I don't know what it is about that number that I enjoy, maybe other than the acrobatic tricks. I like that they're funny. I like that they're mischievous. There's them. Do love Rum Tum Tugger, as everybody does. Because I'm looking at him on my mug right now, Monka Strap. I know this is me with my favorite characters and not so much the character arcs per se.
Let me ask a different question though. When you watched it as a, because if I'm doing my math right, you're around 12, then you watched it around 18. And then you went to see it around 18, right? So if that's my, or maybe 12, 16, 17, see it around 18.
Yeah.
How, the first time you watched it, obviously, you didn't even sound like you watched the whole thing with your grandfather. It was kind of at the cabin. You watched some of it. That's kind of an age where some of the sexual nature of this might have been recognized. But then as an adult, like, you know, you're definitely picking that up the second, third time you're seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
So did you notice any more of those, like with multiple viewings, because one, it's hard to catch it in the first viewing anyways. It's such an overwhelming show to watch. But then as you start watching it more and more, you learn more and more. Did you start to pick up on some of the like weird and dark storylines that kind of come with the show?
I would say I probably did not pick up on that part of the story until seeing the revival, or just following along the revival as they pieced it together. So like the first two times I watched the VHS, I think it went right over my head.
Yeah.
I think you have to be, maybe you just have to really be in the room and really know what's going on to understand that they're all mating with each other. They legit, they do a mating dance. So because the three times I saw the revival in 2016, and then I saw the tour when it came to Philadelphia in 2019, and then again in March of 2023. So those are the three times.
Okay.
But yeah, as a preteen and teenager, I don't think I was thinking about that at all. I was thinking about, oh my God, look at the costumes and the dancing and the music. And oh, that's what this show is about. I didn't pick up on that when I was 12. But at the revival and then seeing the tour, so I'm like, oh, this is absolutely what's going on. I mean,
yeah.
This is why people love them. Don't talk.
Yeah. My other question I would ask, because I also love Mungo Jerry and Rebel Teaser, is did you see the 2019 movie? And as somebody that's one of the songs that's dramatically different because they brought the old British version back.
Yes. I will tell you, this is something I thought of the Bing Bang. So that version of the song, the original version of Mungo Jerry and Rebel Teaser, the jazzy version, I do not mind that on its own. I still think it's a good song and it's fun. I do prefer the version that they brought to Broadway and the version
yeah.
that it's now used. I was surprised that that is the version that they used in the movie. I wonder what the decision-making process going into that was. So I wasn't shocked because I can't remember if I looked up what version they were using before I saw the movie anyway. But I was like, oh, I was like, okay, they used this version. That's fine. I like the other one.
Didn't know there was another version until I saw that movie. And I was like, huh, that's very different. And then I was with my producer and I kind of turned and looked at him and I was like, did you know that there's another version of song? And he knows Cats a lot less too. Then especially that was early in my show. So I really didn't know much at that point. I was still mm-hmm. learning this stuff on the fly. And we both had to look it up and we're like, nope, that's the original. It's the very first version. And so it kind of threw us off.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's, between the original London show and the original Broadway show, of course, because I'm thinking about just the cast recording specifically here. I've never mm-hmm. really watched any footage of those two original. But Mungo Jerry and Rebel Teaser were in the original London production, and it was that version. And then when they brought it to Broadway, they started out as a puppet show that the Cats put on for Old Deuteronomy. And that's yeah. when the version we know now, that is where that came from. Because if you listen to the original Broadway cast recording, Mr. Mistopheles is singing Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser. They're not singing about themselves. I don't know where in the show's run that the two of them singing that song together came in. But originally, yeah, it was muddy.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to remember if I've read a couple books about Cats at this point now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some conversation about the original choreography was too difficult to really do and sing at the same time, I think. And I think that was a big part of it was, could you do all this stuff and actually be able to sing well, to sing your own song? And so they had the other Cats singing it while they did the dance number. And then over time, I don't think they made it easier, but they probably made it to where at least it was possible mm-hmm. to have that. But I've also noticed there's the original Broadway cast album. It's just Mungo Jerry singing, right? And then now you get both Cats singing. So you get some of that mix of how it's evolved over the years.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit from you about, like, as a fan who watched it, grew up with it, you've listened to a few episodes. Is there anything I've said in this show? I'm now 150 plus episodes in. We're pretty deep into this. But early on, it was a lot of stuff I was kind of making up. Probably actually full on making up. But is there anything that you've heard or just lore that I'm so wrong on, or that the fan base is so mixed on that there's no like right answer and you're like, this is my version, but I actually hear other ones? Because I've heard a lot of these and I've never got a definitive answer.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to think back to some episodes that I've listened to the past couple weeks. The one thing that was said on here, I can't remember who's said it, that I really liked and haven't thought about before, is the idea that Victoria is the cat that was chosen as the Jellicle choice last year and is reincarnated. I thought that was very interesting and a very interesting way to look at the story, because she is a pretty central character to the show and to the story. And I think that adds an extra layer. as to why we pay attention to the white cat so much, why she's so much. That one, I was like, oh yeah, that's really interesting. I've never looked at it that way before. Something that stuck out to me is I think it was Haley Fish's episode who played Rumpelteazer in the revival. I saw her as Rumpelteazer in the revival. And she said that Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer are not siblings and that Rumpel has a crush on. And I went, oh, whoa. I fully believed that they are twin siblings. So
yeah. So that the couple that I was thinking of that I don't think I ever get a straight answer on, and a couple I've thrown on social media and have got a 50-50 vote split, is that one, is Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. So are they siblings or are they trying to be together? And then there's kind of this belief, at least the tour you saw the second year, they kind of believed that Jenny was the mom of one of them and the other was trying to like win them over. So I think it was Rumpelteazer's maybe mom and Mungo Jerry is trying to like win her hand and trying to impress mom. The other one is Bomb Ballerina and Demeter as sisters, friends, lovers. Like, where do they fall on the spectrum? And that's another one I've got zero answers to.
Yeah. Because I've been watching some 98 clips and watching a bootleg of the 2016 revival and trying to look at their moments together. After hearing that question asked on the podcast. And my conclusion, maybe friends. I don't think that they're sisters. They don't read as sisters to me. So maybe friends, maybe lovers. Like, I'm not going to say like, oh no, they're not in love, but I'm like, I don't think they're related.
Yeah.
The vibe I get is not, they're not related. Just maybe because with McCavity, when I think of their number about McCavity, they're singing about like their relationship with their history with this one guy. I'm not saying that sisters can't have dated the same guy. I'm sure it's happened, but like, I think because of the song, I'm like, nah, I think these are two girls that maybe bonded over her trauma in McCavity, and now they're friends and maybe they're lovers.
I agree. So that's where I fall on that spectrum. But I remember so vividly, I posted, I don't even remember what the joke was, but I posted a their lovers type of like tweet joke. And it's probably the most comments I've ever had on Twitter because I don't use Twitter for the podcast very often. And it was a bunch of people mad being like, that can't be, they can't be lovers, they're sisters. And I'm like, are they though? Like, and then I threw it up there and I got a 50-50 split, which is part of what I love about this show is that there isn't a definitive answer for so many of these things. Because the choices are made by the performers and the relationships that they have with the people on and off stage, which I think is a really cool piece.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, again, like, I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much is because this show is purely an ensemble piece. Like, every character that's on that stage has an extensive history. And it's not just them as the actor coming up with that history. It is like production history. Like, every person on that stage, they are important to the story. They have a backstory. Like, they have a purpose. Because I think that maybe not, I don't want to say modern musical theater, but maybe just the way that I've grown up with musical theater and do it is the ensemble. Sometimes the ensemble gets forgotten, you know? And, or they don't get thought about as much. And with Cats, it is the ensemble. Like, it's about the ensemble. And I think that's another reason why I think it's a great show.
It's such a good point because there's such a, you know, not everything, there's a, it's a wide range. Broadway's so big, but there's a lot of the, like, here's our big name principal, come see us to see them, you know, like, type of thing. And there are less shows that I think are about the whole group where, you know, you don't throw, maybe you get a big name Grisabella, but for the most part, you've got 25, 30 characters on there. Phantom kind of felt similar where there's just a humongous cast. And it's lasted for so long that you kind of wonder like why more things haven't evolved to be that way. And it's maybe it's just a period of time and a peak and valley. I've not been that close to Broadway for that long to know full history and following it. But I do think that's a really interesting point of that.
Mm-hmm.
I got one more question before we go to back to TikTok.
Yeah.
You said that your best friend went with you.
Yeah.
On the live revival viewing and hated it.
Yeah.
Two questions here. One, what did they hate about it? And two, have you spent all since that moment, the last, what is that, 8 years trying to convince them that they're wrong?
I'm trying to think back to this conversation when I was like, I'm going on this Cats podcast and I'm like, why did you not like Cats? Because I knew that she was going to give me a good answer, like an actual answer. And she told me that the way that I am musically inclined and the fact that like the sound of the music, the melody of the music is what my brain will gravitate towards. She is the opposite. And she said, it was just hard to follow. She was like, I just didn't love the music in general. Like, so for her, I think she said it was hard to follow. Didn't really love the music. I'm sure she just said that like the story is kind of weird, but
yeah,
that it was that kind of, she gave me that. I feel bad. I can't remember it word for word. I'm sorry, Katie. but it was more than, I don't know. It's just weird and it's bad and it's about Cats.
That's why I ask, because that's most of the time I don't get a real thoughtful answer. I just didn't enjoy it. And then as I ask more questions, I can't really go deeper. So that is interesting, because if someone is lyrically inclined, I think there are some, it's probably hard to catch in a live viewing because there's so much going on that you've got the whole incredible stage. You've got the really costumes, especially in 2016, they're roaming around in the audience with you in the beginning. But the lyrics are really impressive because they are T.S. Eliot's poems. And when you start listening to some of the songs, there are some kind of funny moments. So even for a lyrically driven person, I'm like, there's some stuff there. But I do think it's overwhelming if you're, you know, if it's essentially sensory overload for sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe there are just some people that they're not Cat people, as in Cat the animal people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's totally valid to be like, I don't know, I just didn't like it. You know, I don't think everyone needs to have a full-on dissertation as to why or why not, I guess, that they don't like it. Because sometimes
totally.
I'm like, maybe I just like this because I do. And maybe someone else doesn't like it just because they don't. But as I've been in the theater world and in the theater social media world, after a while, I just got so sick of the like, oh, well, everyone knows that Cats is bad. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And it, like, yes, I'm going with that. About opinion. Again, I really do think the Warriors book series, that was just a predisposition. I was like, I know I'm a fan of this type of storytelling about cats with really weird names and, you know, their omens and their prophecies and their reincarnation. Because reincarnation, that is another thing that happens in the Warriors book series too. There are some characters that do get reincarnated. They get brought back to life.
Yep. They're warriors. They have to have some murder in there, I'm sure.
Oh, there's a ton of murder.
I feel like I need to read this book.
Yeah, read, or, you know, maybe you don't have to fully read. There is murder. There is betrayal. There's dictatorships that happen, like literally sociopolitical, like ongoings of feral cats that live in the woods. And just like Cats the Musical, you know, this sounds like a book series that is not popular with everybody, but the people that are fans of it are dedicated. They are dedicated fans. There is a very dedicated warrior cat fandom with YouTube fan animated series and, I don't know, tetrabytes of art.
Okay, we're going to convince this fan base to pivot over to Cats the Musical.
I really think it would be an easy transition, because my cousin that got me into the book series, when I got into Cats, I was like, oh, you'd love this.
Yeah.
I went, this is just Warriors, but on stage, and their names are
with music. It's Warriors with music. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for more of The Wrong Cat Died.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. I want to go back to TikTok, though. I want to hear a little bit about, you said that, you know, you do have a plan. You do. I think TikTok is such a instantaneous, just throw up what you're thinking. But then I know that's not the case. And a lot of time and effort goes into this. So I'm curious to hear about, for cats specifically, when you have an idea for a video that's going to be cats related, how do you decide, like, this is what's going, this was coming up? Because you've posted a couple before we're recording this. This will come out a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But a couple have come up recently where they're pretty funny cats related stuff.
Yeah. Well, once you invited me to come on, I feel like I've been doing this like secret meetup too.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Because I got back into listening to the show and back into watching stuff about the show. Like, I went and rewatched the Broadway.com launch with Tyler Haynes, which we haven't talked about yet, but we did. So cats was on my mind, and there is something. Maybe it's an algorithm thing. Maybe it's the fact that cats is a popular topic on TikTok and you wouldn't think that it is. But when I make a TikTok about Cats the musical, it does well. And I guess I can explain it, but I also can't. I think it's because it really is so specific. It's such a specific niche. Like, even in musical theater, it's very specific, but I think just broader on TikTok as well. And I think the 2019 movie had a lot to do with Cats being a meme, because it's a meme. To TikTok, it's a meme.
And for sure.
So with that, and because a lot of the videos that I have made about cats that have done well, they are in the, they're a TikTok trend.
Yeah.
Like, I make it as whatever TikTok trend is going on at the time. I think that's one of the reasons that those videos tend to do better than some other ones that I make. So, let's see, like the Met Gala one, like it was the Met Gala, that hot topic, cats.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hot topic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another one that I've done that was in line with the trend. Oh, there was a trend last year. There was this sound effects board. It was like a sound effect board thing. And one of the sounds was, it's called the vine boom, but it's like an explosion sound. So the trend was someone going, "Oh, you're literally my dream girl." And then the person would say all of these negative things about themselves and use that sound effect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do remember that.
So I made one that was like, "I love cats," sound effect. Like, no, I unironically love cats the musical. I was like, yeah, I think it's better than a lot of musicals. Like, so that one did pretty okay because trend. Or there's another one I have. Remember that Kevin James picture? It was really popular in the fall.
Yep.
And the trend was people at the party looking over at the speaker, like, "Who put this song on?" And then it's Kevin James, like, me next to the speaker. And so I did Skimbleshanks, because Skimbleshanks, to me, is the, I think it is the public's favorite song from Cats. Like, not, Memory doesn't count, because Memory kind of became like a mainstream pop song.
Yeah.
But in terms of songs from the musical, personally, I think that Skimbleshanks is the most popular one, because Skimbleshanks is regarded as the best part of the 2019 movie.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree with that. Yeah. And so that's why you went from Taylor Swift to Skimbleshanks in the car the other day. I saw that one.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. the backstory behind that one. Okay. Again, I don't know if I'm like revealing myself to be like calculating or a fraud, but a lot of the stuff that I post, even the cat stuff that I post, is kind of strategic and it's planned. It's not all of it is spur of the moment. Like the idea, I'll be like, oh, I should do this cat's video, but I was like, I got to think about it. So the video I posted in the car, that's one that is doing much better than I thought it was going to. So my sister, my younger sister, is doing the Disney College program, and I had to drive her down to Florida to move her in. And one of my other friends came along the trip with us. And the night before we left, I was like, wait, I have this idea. Okay. And like, so it'll start out as me in the car and I'm talking about how morale is really low. And then I say, hit it. And then you start blasting Skimble Shanks.
Yeah.
And then I like scream. Originally, I was going to take a sip of, I had like one of those double shot Starbucks espresso cans.
Yeah.
I was gonna like sip that and then scream, but I didn't want TikTok to think that I was being a reckless driver. So.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that was a really long-winded explanation, but that is a planned video. And we waited until it was nighttime and we waited until we were like really long into the drive. And I was like, okay, let's make it now. And it just so happened that one of the ways that we got ourselves through this road trip to Florida was we listened to every single Taylor Swift album in order.
Okay.
And we had to kind of pause that. And I was like, okay, you'll film, but let me backtrack. It got funnier with the fact that at that point we were just on one of Taylor Swift's sadder songs. And so the switch from Evermore to Skimble Shanks was so drastic anyway.
Yeah.
And that was my friend that was like, oh, let me film the music playing on the radio. And then that'll make it funnier.
I loved it because immediately was like, oh, it's Bombalurina. Like it was like,
yeah.
Taylor Swift is in the movie. We went from cats to cats, but that's obviously not why you were going from Taylor Swift, the biggest pop star in the world, to Skimble Shanks.
Yeah.
Which is definitely a bop. It's a song that'll wake you up. I loved it. I do think it's interesting because as much as a lot of the stuff that's either not perfectly curated, like there's the content creators who spend all day like editing and filming and like really putting together these movie quality videos. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot like what you just said, which is it looks a little bit more spur of the moment organic, but I'm sure none of it is, because even the few like, oh, I have a really good idea. Half the time I throw a note down and then I got to find a moment where I could actually film that or have this scenario. So I love hearing that it's like you were ready. You knew that at some point in this drive, you were going to need Skimble Shanks. And that's a great video idea. And so it's like, let's just plan to get this ready to go and then we'll throw it up there.
Yeah. And while we were driving, there's actually another video of me that my friend posted on her own TikTok of Champagne Problems by Taylor Swift playing. And I am explaining the plot of Cats to her in depth because she actually didn't know. And so it's me saying like, okay, so then Grisabella sings Touch Me, It's So Easy to Leave Me because she's so lonely, she's so touch starved that she just wants someone to touch her. And Victoria, the youngest cat of the clan, touches her and welcomes her back in. But it's what's funny about it, it's me explaining the plot of Cat, and a sad Taylor Swift song is once again playing over. But yeah, I think when it comes to content creation, especially with TikTok, which brought a new wave of organic looking, relatable, spur of the moment content, where, you know, if you think about the, I'm thinking about the 2010 YouTube era, which was very pretty, very curated, very planned blogging style. And then at the end of the 2010s is where that silly, relatable blogging style came in. I'm thinking like Emma Chamberlain style of blogging. And then TikTok comes along. I think that TikTok started to get really, really big in 2019 and 2020, especially with the onset of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so now, and I think just like the society that we're currently in, like our current culture is like, we don't want a lot of that pretty curated stuff anymore because we know that it's not real. And we want real people and relatable people. So I think that's what brought TikTok like all the way up to the top, and why so many TikTok videos or TikTok creators who are known to be like that can do really well. But
yeah,
if you want to be a successful content creator, you do have to be smart and you have to be strategic in certain ways. And it's, I think, extra difficult to be like, yes, I'm being really strategic and I know that this is going to do well, but I still have to make it look like I just thought about it 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Is that there,
for sure? No, completely. I mean, I think it's such a weird world because it's such a different thing, especially depending on your, like, what, millennials versus boomers and everything else, like the following of how that's like that content is going. As someone who's just seen some of the behind the scenes of that, like I went to the very final Bad Cinderella and I watched after when I walked out and I knew some of the people that were there, like 5 people filming right outside the front, like selfie style this. And I'm like, there's no way they didn't come with some plan of like what they were going to say. And then the moment they got to add from what they experienced. But there is that, like, I know before I leave, I have to do this. I have to have this plan. I have to have this going because I need to do this in this location at this time. Okay. And ideally get it out within the next 24 hours or quicker. And yeah. So there are those moments where some of the stuff is timeless and some of the stuff is trends and you've got to capitalize. But yeah. It's fascinating to me as someone who generally isn't on camera very much. So like my TikTok is mostly those green screen type of things because like I have not done many where I'm like, all right, let me film me doing it. I have thought about some ideas of if I want to tackle some more TikToks that of what I would want to do with it. But then every time I have the plan, I have the idea, and then I'm like, do I have the time to do this? Like, when am I going to actually go do this?
Yeah.
But I love the idea of how, honestly, I just love how many of yours, like they always pop up quickly for me, which makes sense for my algorithm. And then I'm always like, wow, this has already this many views and this many comments. And like, there are things that I kept thinking are niche. Like you had one that was about Tugger and Mistopheles' relationship. And I'm like, I've been making fun of that for a while, but like how many people know that aren't in the like true Cats fandom?
Yeah. And that's what I don't know. I'm like, okay, are the people that, the thousands of people that are liking these videos of mine and commenting on these videos, I'm like, did this just find the circle of really, really dedicated Cats fans? Or is this more mainstream than I originally thought it was? Because my understanding for Cats for the last couple of years was that people liked to hate on it and people liked to make fun of it. And there weren't that many people that actually liked it, or at least like when I was in college, there weren't. So to see that, like that Tugger Mistopheles video, which again was another trend, and again, it got silenced.
As I know.
That got over 1,000 likes within 12 hours of being posted. And for, you know, much bigger creators, that number's not going to mean anything for them. But to me, when I'm like, oh, if something got to 1,000, I'm like, this is doing well. Even if something gets to a couple hundred likes, for me, that's doing really well. Well, that's why the Met Gala video that was at 177,000. And that was my first TikTok to hit 1 million views too. That was insane. And like, oh my God, that video got saved by, you know, the Apatow sisters, like Judd Apatow's daughter. So one of his daughters saved that video to her favorites folder.
Wow.
I was like, I've made it.
Yeah.
A niche internet micro celebrity, which has been my goal this entire time. But like, it is very interesting. And I don't have I do not know why the Cats videos do really well, other than the fact that, well, I guess it's something that gets memed a lot. And maybe the algorithm knows that I make this kind of stuff a lot and it pushes the cat stuff onto the For You pages of other people. And that's the explanation. Like even the video in the car, I didn't think that one would do very well because I thought that people's attention wouldn't pay attention to it long enough to know that the joke was going to be switching from Taylor Swift to blasting Skimble shit. Like I didn't think that it would do well. And sometimes another thing I'll do with videos to boost them is the music that you put under them. So I tried to put Skimbo Shanks on that video and just turn the volume all the way down, but it didn't save. And maybe it's okay that it didn't save because maybe it would have been silenced.
Yeah.
That's like another thing. And that, and a lot of content creators do that. If you look at someone's video and see what song that they have playing under it.
Yeah, and it's muted. And
really hot song at the time. They're doing it so that they could get engaged. And I've done That's why.
Yeah. There's that. And then they put the same hashtags or whatever that have nothing to do with the video just to try to go. Okay. I want to go to rapid fire because I want to get to our important question at the end here. So if you could perform in Cats and go on one night, which cat would you want to go on as?
This is so difficult. I think my top two performance-wise, Rumpelteazer or Syllabub.
Okay. I think you've answered the favorite cats, but I'm going to ask again. So favorite cat and least favorite cat.
Okay, I do have a couple. I have to think about favorite like characters versus favorite numbers, but I have always loved Monkestrap because I love Silver Tabby Cat. I love his like the authority that he has, but he also doesn't have. I think that's and I love Rumpelteazer and I love Tucker because who doesn't? My cat also kind of looks like Rumpel Tucker.
Least favorite.
My least favorite. I'm trying to think of like, okay, is there a character that I legit just like don't like or don't care about or roll my eyes? You know, maybe I just don't have a least favorite. I guess like I mix up Carbuckety and Tumble Brutus and Palatable. I can't tell. Like I watch the three primes and I always mix up which of these tumbling male ensemble kittens is which. Like they're all, I think they all are some version of brown and white, so I can't tell. That might be a disappointing question.
I've thought about more from the standpoint of like, which one would you not like to hang out with? Like they're a family member, you obviously love them, but there's the one that's like, this character again is here. But I do think you're talking about the male kittens will solve that answer. So let's go to favorite song.
Okay, we go back to my notes. Again, I have like multiple answers. Okay. My favorite musical numbers, there's several. I couldn't pick just one.
Okay.
Bumblebee and Rumpelteazer is probably top. After that, Skimble Shake.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. I love Gus the Fever Cat. I love that song. The opening number, again, iconic, and Tugger.
It has all great. All great answers. I've asked this a lot now and I've got a lot of different answers, but which cat do you think would be the best content creator? Like who would thrive on TikTok?
I think that Tyler Haynes proved that the Rum Tum Tugger is a popular content creator. Have you watched Tyler Haynes' Broadway.com blog series?
I've watched some of them. He was a very early guest on this show, and it was one of the few I did in person. We got to do a studio when we had the studio pre-pandemic, and so he was the nicest human, and it was so fun to have him on. And he actually was able to answer a couple of the like theory stuff that I had read online that was fully related to him that I was like, I think this theory exists because of you. And so like, can you clarify that? And he was so fun being able to do that. But yeah, he did that whole vlog series. And then another Tugger that did a lot of stuff was the last two on tour, which Zach Bravo and Hank Santos both did a lot of stuff with TikTok and Tugger. So I do think it's a very good answer for that question.
I think you'd love it.
$1 million question. Is I've argued that I don't think Grisabella is the right Jellicle choice. So I want to hear, Nina, who are you picking if you had the power? You're a warrior cat and you have the power to make your Jellicle choice tonight at the ball.
I think it's Gus. I've listened to episodes. There's a lot of Gus. He's struggling. Let him go.
I agree.
Let him be young and live again. Literally, like I did love what Christopher Gurr said, because I listened to from the 2016 Revival cast, Tyra Haynes, Christopher Gurr, and Christine Cornish Smith episodes. Because I met two of them. And I do love what Christopher Gurr said about, like, I don't even know if Gus should come back. Like, I think Gus's soul is, like, needs to go. And I do agree with that. But if I had to pick someone other than Grisabella, I think it's got to be Gus. Because, another thing that I think about this show is these cats that are singing about themselves to be like, pick me to die. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if they want to die. I think they just want to show up. I don't think Tugger wants to die.
Totally.
Tugger loves the attention. He doesn't want to die. I think Mungo Jerry, and Rumpelteazer, they don't want to. They're not ready to go. Bustopher, he wants to keep his money. He wants to keep his clubs. He wants his food. Like, he's, why give that up? You know what I mean?
No, completely. I think there's a few cat race that you could, like, truly make the argument that they're really ready. And it's the way that the show's built. There's ages for them that they're supposed to be playing. And there are a couple that are older. And that's the group that really is singing for their ability to go. That's Grisabella, Gus, Jenny, McCavity, in a sense. And maybe one or two others, but, like, that's mostly it. The rest, I think you can make arguments, but you have to have a different rationale for what the Jellicle choice means than what the most common version of that is.
Okay. Yeah.
So I love it. Team Gus. I'm hoping, I keep track and I do post at, you know, milestone marks on Instagram, the updates, and he just keeps inching closer, but he's not quite got past Grisabella. And I'm hoping that the longer I do this show, the more people I convince, the more people that now think about it, because I don't think anybody thought about this question until I came along, at least in this level of detail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for the day that he passes Grisabella for the top vote on this podcast. And I will be celebrating. And maybe that's when I stop, because I'm like, we've done it. She's not the number one pick, but she's got a slight lead still.
Yeah. And it's not like necessarily disagree with Grisabella being the choice. I'm like, but if I had to pick somebody else, I would pick Gus. He's so tired. Let him go. Who wants to be in Bumpus Cat?
For sure. I mean, look, the musical's written to be Grisabella with a redemption arc. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that she's not worthy, but I have my doubts of other reasons why she shouldn't go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been so fun. How can people see and hopefully catch all your next amazing cats TikToks and keep up with you on all platforms?
Yeah, so I make most of my content on TikTok. The name is It's Neen Green, NEEN, and the green as in the color, with an it's at the front. Neen Green was taken when I went to go make the account. That is where I post my cats content, mostly my theater content, my acting content. Do technically have another TikTok account called Wanamaker Oregon Biggest Fan, which was my original TikTok. So that's more my, like, the stuff I make on there is more meme related. It's Philadelphia related. If that can be whatever it wants to be, but Neen Green I made to be more curated to acting and theater. So you can follow me there. You can follow me on Instagram if you want to. My main account is Nina_Cecilia with another underscore. I did have a Neen Green Instagram. I don't really use that one though. I tried to use it. So Instagram, TikTok, do technically the YouTube as well. If you want the original Met Gala TikTok is a YouTube short. Good for me to kind of put it on YouTube shorts. YouTube didn't silence me. TikTok
YouTube,
silenced
YouTube still has the rights. We will link all of those in the description so people can find, and hopefully you've already popped up on their For You page or their shorts page or their Instagram. I don't know how Instagram does that anymore, but thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun to have you on, hear all those stories, hear how you create your cat stuff, and I can't wait to see more created.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This was so exciting. My friends are so excited. They're going to have a field day when this comes out.
They know you're a cats fan, and they will be ready to hear all the fun that comes with that.
And you're gonna kiss me for.
And then now everybody has to go read the Warriors books. That's the other thing.
Everyone's going Warriors. If you're a Warriors fan, go listen to Cats the Musical, watch some bootlegs. If you're a Cats the Musical fan, go read the Warriors series, because again, that Venn diagram is a circle.
I left the page open to say let me go look at what this is a little deeper.
No, go listen to their naming system. It's not like the Cats the Musical naming system, but it is a system. They don't have a normal name.
And neither do Cats.
Nope.
They have three names.
We've got three exactly.
All right. Thank you. And thanks everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you could subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else listen to the podcast. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads at The Cat Died, or check out our website, thecatdied.com.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.